Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from Christ Jesus, our Savior and King. Our sermon this morning is taken from our gospel reading of Mark chapter 13 with these words. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." This is the word of our Lord. Well, as we now look at our calendars, we are entering into the week of Thanksgiving. And it is important that we take this time to reflect and be thankful for all of God's goodness and providence. Has it not been said, "Father knows best"? Right? And in that, of course, we think of our Heavenly Father. We think of our God who is infinitely wise, all-knowing, gracious. And so it is true, our Father knows what's best for us. In fact, as we hear from our scriptures, we know that our Lord, especially as we heard from our epistle reading, Jesus, has entered into our very lives, our very world history, and provided for us all that we need to support this body and life. And so this is the gospel. This is good. And so for this week, because of the gospel, St. Paul teaches us, in everything, give thanks. Well, as we listen to our readings, especially our gospel reading from Mark, what we see in here in a theme for this Sunday is that we can be truly thankful for the Holy Christian Church on earth. I mean, let's think about it on a world scale. There are Christian churches, congregations around the world. I've heard of our own professors from St. Louis Seminary and Fort Wayne Seminary going over to Latvia, Ethiopia, Australia, Haiti, Quebec, you name it, in order to proclaim the Holy Gospel, to serve at seminaries, to teach pastors and congregations about Christ crucified and the truth of the Holy Bible. And we think about our own church body, our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We have over 6,000 congregations in the United States alone. That is a lot of churches. And on top of that, every time we meet as a synod, we are declaring fellowship with different global Lutheran church bodies over and over every year, more and more. And it's because God is good. He continues to provide for his people of every generation. And so for this week, we say, thanks be to God. Now we look at our gospel reading, and what do we see here? In our gospel reading, the 12 disciples are with Jesus at the temple in Jerusalem. Now, I can simply speculate that maybe the 12 disciples have gone to church with Jesus. Maybe they have brought their sacrifices to temple to give their offerings to God. Now, what do we hear? We hear that one of the 12 is very excited about this. He's very excited. He's been excited all day. He's been thinking about how our God is so very good. I'm sure as he was in church, the temple, he was being spiritually strengthened by being in God's house in order to meditate on God's holy word. He knows through the gospel he was receiving God's mercy. And so this disciple is realizing, maybe, you know, it's just kind of dawning on him in full reality, life right now is pretty good. Really good. I mean, I get to follow Jesus everywhere he goes, and he's the Messiah. I get to learn from him. He's my master, my rabbi. And so you could say maybe this disciple is really pumped up. He's on fire. And so he wants to share this excitement with Jesus, and he looks around. He says, "Jesus, look, teacher, what wonderful stones, what wonderful buildings." Now maybe, again I speculate, they may have just heard the psalm that we heard today, Psalm 48, as they were in the temple, our intro, because this is some powerful words. They said, "Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of God's judgments. They must be good. Walk about Zion, go around her and number her towers. Consider well her ramparts and go through her citadels that you may tell the next generation, this is God forever and ever, and he will guide us." See, this is important because it gives us insight into the mind of Christ Jesus as he begins to respond to his beloved disciple, this pumped up on fire disciple. Because what does Jesus say? Our Concordia Publishing House gives us maybe just a picture of history, but in a general way, this is what Jesus says. This is how Jesus responds to his beloved disciple. He says, you know what? There will not be one stone left upon another. They will all be thrown down. Now, why is Jesus being so negative? Can you tell what he's doing here? You see, especially as we look at our calendar, we are in the last Sunday of the last month of the church year, and so Jesus is going to start to prophesy. We're going to hear about the end times. We're going to hear about the last day. We're going to hear about judgment. So what Jesus is revealing to his disciples is, in fact, the future. What will happen in their lifetime? See, in fact, Jesus was telling the truth. If you look at world history, A.D. 70. What happened that year? If you look at the world events, the Roman Empire had had enough. There were zealots from the Jewish nation that were creating war, doing sorties against the Roman Empire. They were assassinating Roman officials. Jewish zealots were attacking over and over in serious ways, and so the Roman Empire had enough. The Roman legion shows up, rolls into Jerusalem, and destroys every building that Jesus had prophesied would be torn down. Even the temple, God's beautiful and holy temple, was torn down. Now many may ask, why would God allow this? How are we supposed to be thankful for this? The truth? We're not. Because the world is broken, but what we are thankful for is something greater, something different. We're thankful that during the time in which nation would rise against nation, the Messiah has come. You see, what Jesus was teaching his disciples, what Jesus is teaching you, is that beyond temples and tabernacles and synagogues, beyond beautiful churches and cathedrals, God, the Lord Almighty, has been building his church, laying one stone after another throughout time since Adam and Eve. God has been building his church. And when the fullness of time had come, the very keystone of the church was brought into this world. And he was incarnate for us. This keystone told the Pharisees at the temple in Jerusalem during Holy Week. He said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will build it again." The Jews laughed at him. They said, "You know what? It took Solomon 7 years to build this temple. You're going to build it in 3 days." Jesus simply replied, "This is great." Jesus said, "One who is greater than Solomon is now here." You see, the gospel that Jesus brought into this world is what this message is all about. Because I tell you all that to tell you this. What Jesus has prophesied has come true. We heard it in our epistle reading. The great high priest has entered into the Holy of Holies to redeem his people, to save them from a broken world, even to set God's children free. And this is precisely because of who Jesus is. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and upon him, God the Father has been building his church. One stone upon another, even since the dawning of time. You see, Jesus was offered as a single sacrifice for all sins, for all time, and his body, his temple, was destroyed upon the cross. And Hebrews tells us it is by this single offering that you and I were perfected in Christ's righteousness, that we may be sanctified to be God's holy people. Even though Jerusalem was destroyed, even though the temple was destroyed, even though it is a war-torn world, the beautiful gospel remains. Jesus has come to be the Christ, our Savior, and this is good news. I mean, yes, sadly, it was the Jews who first rejected Jesus. It was the Jews who wanted nothing to do with Jesus. They did not believe that he was the Messiah. And so they figured there was no way that this man could be God. So they turned their backs on him. And yes, 40 years later, God, our Heavenly Father, gave Jerusalem over to the Roman Empire to be destroyed. But what was happening during that time? What was happening since 30 AD? The disciples were learning from Jesus and they were ordained to be apostles. And God had chosen men, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to write the holy gospels so that you and I could know who God is. That even after 2,000 years of world history, you and I may hear the holy word of God and believe and be saved. You see, the holy, beautiful gospel remains. Jesus is the Christ, he is our God, and he now saves us. And so in this week of Thanksgiving, we come forward with joy, with all thanksgiving, to worship our Lord, to receive his gifts, and to find refuge in him. Because Jesus has saved us. He is the one in whom we take refuge to give us life everlasting. May our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ receive all glory and honor and praise because of this, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Savior and our King. Please rise.